Well, we're going to open our Bibles this morning to 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. Don't you like to have a second chance? I want you to know our God is a God of second chances. In fact, the third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances as well in many cases. Very few of us got saved the first time we heard it, but God gave us another chance. I was getting ready to drive a bus across the country, and I had to have a learner's permit. In order to get that learner's permit, I had to pass a written test, and I went and took the written test, and I failed it. And that was on Monday, and we had to leave the next Sunday night after church, and so I asked the lady, do I get a second chance? And she said, you can come back on Friday, but that's the last chance you get. What do you think? I passed. I was nervous. I studied all week. Don't take advantage of the chances God gives you. And what I mean by that is don't take them for granted. But God does give us second chances. You and I, the fact that we're here, prove that. Now, put that thought over on the shelf for a second, and let me set this up for you as to what's happening before we read the passage. Solomon has just accomplished what I think we would safely say was the greatest accomplishment of his life. He's finished the temple. This is something Israel had been talking about all the way back in the wilderness. David wanted to build a house for the Lord, and it had been a goal of theirs for many, many years. And now they have finished the temple. It's there to behold. It's there to enjoy and to use to serve the Lord. And you say, what's next? There are some people in this room, and you have done some great things for God in your life. Maybe your greatest accomplishment seems to be behind you. But I want to caution you, if God was finished with you, he'd have taken you home to heaven. The fact that you're still here means he's got a purpose for you. He's got something for you to do. And you may not think it's big, but God does. Anything God wants done is big. We talked about this the other day, you might be the one that leads the last soul to Christ before the Lord returns. There's somebody out there, I don't know who it is, somebody out there, probably already born, in my opinion, but at any rate, somebody out there that's going to be the last one to get saved. And you might be the one to lead them to the Lord. That would be big, wouldn't it? People be saying to you, what have you been waiting for? We've been wanting to go to heaven for a long time, and you should have led this person to the Lord sooner. But anyway, your greatest days may or may not be ahead of you, but every day that God uses you in his will is a great day. And you may see something big like a temple in your past, but folks, God's not finished with you yet. And you may have some failure in your past, but folks, God's not finished with you yet. There's a second opportunity. Solomon was a fellow that I envy in this regard. God came to him very specifically on two occasions. This is the second one here we're going to see this morning. The first one, you remember, is when he first became the king, and God came to him and said, what do you want, Solomon? You ask for it, I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, Lord, make me wise. I want to have the ability to lead your people, and please make me wise. And God said to him, since you didn't ask for riches, since you didn't ask for victory over your enemies, I'm going to give you wisdom and riches and victory. And God gave Solomon those great blessings, and he used those blessings for the Lord. And now, this message this morning is a two-edged sword. One edge is an edge of encouragement or blessing where God says, there's a blessing available to you. The other edge is an edge of warning or caution where God says, if you do not walk with me, there's another alternative here. And I would just set this all up one more thing before we read it by cautioning you and reminding you of this. Folks, God is going to have to do a work in our life if anything is accomplished. It has to be from the Lord. But He wants to do that. And it's you and I that will prevent it. It's not God that will prevent it. It's you and I that will prevent it. If you will take a step towards God, He'll take a step towards you. And if you'll walk with God, He'll walk with you. And if you will let God use you, He will use you greatly. That's an encouragement to me, that there are second chances and that God's not finished with us yet. With that in mind, let's read the passage. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, and have a word of prayer. Watch for those two cautions, the blessing in verse 5 and the caution in verse 7. But let's begin in verse 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house, which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, without you, we know we can do nothing. This morning, as we look into this passage, I pray it would not just be something that is interesting to us, but I pray it would be something that we can apply to our lives and that we would find what you want us to see to apply it properly. God, I pray if there's one here today that's not saved, that they'd find Christ as Savior. But my request would be that you'd speak to each one and give us encouragement, give us the challenge, and give us the hope that we can see you bless us and use us in our life. And that we have that opportunity, just as Solomon is given the opportunity here. Lord, I pray we would be afraid of sin because of what sin brings. I pray that we would be bold in the Lord Jesus Christ to know that you promised that you would never allow us to be tempted above that which we are able, but would always provide a way of escape. God, I pray this morning that you'd be with each one who's here and be with the young people as they meet today as well. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. When I was in my 20s, I got the idea that I wanted to go skydiving. And this was back a long time ago when it was not very expensive. I think I paid $60 for the class and 20 more for the first jump. And they told us, they said, all right, when you jump out of that airplane, your main parachute's going to open automatically. It was in a bag. It's called a static line. And it's going to open automatically. And if that parachute does not open, there is a reserve. And what you do is you cut away, you let go of the main parachute because it's messed up somehow, and then you pull a handle, and that'll cause that reserve parachute to open up, and it's packed by a professional, it's spring-loaded, it's guaranteed to work, and that parachute will take you safely to the ground. And I know this. It gave me a good feeling to know that if something went wrong with the first one, I had a spare. used to scuba dive, and they would give you a regulator to put in your mouth to breathe out of. But they also wanted you to have a spare, and it was just another one hanging there. And if the first one malfunctioned, you could grab that second one and use it. Anything that you do, a pilot, for example, I had a friend in Utah that got his pilot's license. And I said, hey, let's go flying. And he said, I'll be glad to take you flying. He said, but if we're going to fly over the mountains, he said, I don't want to take a single-engine airplane. I want a second engine just in case one engine fails. Nice to have that second chance, isn't it? Nice to have that second opportunity. God is a master at replacing firsts with seconds. You'll see that, for example, in the Old Testament, in Genesis, when Cain and Abel were born. Abel was God's chosen one. Abel would have provided the line of Christ. Cain slew him. God provided Seth. Often in the Bible, God will take someone who seems to be the one that wouldn't have been used and use him. And I can't give you all the examples, but I'm thinking of Jacob and Esau. There was a time there when Esau could have been the one, but Jacob the second wound up being the one that God used. God's gracious, isn't he? When you and I fail, or when you and I succeed, if we see that opportunity here, Solomon has succeeded, but either way it works, God gives us another opportunity. And the warning that you see in verse 7 is important, but the encouragement you see in verse 5 is important as well. God says to Solomon, and it's, don't make it too simple, but he says, if you will obey me, and I'll use the language that the Bible uses here in just a minute, but he says, if you'll walk with me, I'll bless you. Isn't it good to walk with God? Amen? Do you know how to walk with God? I remember an old Sunday school teacher, Greek fella, Joe Kalodemus. Joe Kalodemus, I could tell that story for a long time. He was a big guy, and he had a personality and then another one to spare. I mean, he was just dynamic. He was very outgoing, and he made a living as a salesman, and he taught Sunday school, and he says to the Sunday school class, he was talking to the high school students, I think, when he said this, he says, now, when you want to talk to God, you pray. And when you want to hear from God, you read your Bible. Is it that simple? It is, amen? And the Bible says God will speak with us. The Bible also says that we speak with him through prayer. So what happens is when you and I open the Bible, we're hearing what God has to say. It's good to have you folks here today. Thank you for coming. Yeah, no, it's okay. No problem at all. It's a delight to have you here. So the Bible says very clearly that we can hear from God, God can speak to us, and that we can talk to God, God hears us. And folks, that's the beginning of fellowship with God. Amen. But listen to this thought. Solomon has been walking with God. Solomon has built the temple. But now God comes to him and says, you need to understand something. There's something I expect from you. There's something that you need to do. And there's something that goes beyond just the conversation. There is the conversation that we have with God and that God has with us, but then there's the conversation that is called the way we live our life. Because, folks, the way you live your life indicates the way you love or don't love God. And so let's read a little bit of this and see if we can't see some things. The Lord appears to Solomon in a very particular way in verse 2. I'm not going to read that verse again, but he comes down and he says, I want to bless you. Let me read it, just what he says in verse 5. He says, I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. He says, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne. He says, but there's a condition for that. He says in verse 4, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments. Let's break down verse 4 just a little bit, and let me explain something to you once again. When you got saved, if you are saved, if you can tell me, Pastor, I know a time when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to come into my heart and be my Savior and forgive me for my sins, because I know he died on the cross to pay for my sins. If there's a day that you were saved, say amen. Amen. All right? So what happened then was the Holy Spirit came inside of you, And that's the very same Holy Spirit that moved on the face of the waters in Genesis chapter 1 and caused and resulted, the result was the creation. And don't get, shouldn't get too complicated here, but the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is our creator. The Holy Spirit is that agent of creation. He is what moved on the face of the water and caused things to begin to happen. And when he came into our heart, he caused things to begin to happen. And he, for example, the Holy Spirit will convict us when we sin. The Holy Spirit will encourage us when we need encouragement. The Holy Spirit will comfort us when we need comfort. And Mr. Hill, would you help them with Children's Church? And right now, the Holy Spirit in you and I helps us understand the Bible. He gives us direction. He gives us peace. Those are all things that he does. And the Bible says we can grieve him, we can quench him, that there's some things we can do to frustrate him. But if we will give him access to our life, he can allow us to fulfill what we see here in verse 4. He says, you need to walk with integrity of heart. You know, it may be that you look a certain way to people, but God knows how our heart looks. And you may not look that good to people, or you may look really good to people, but the question is, what's in your heart? And I'll say this, if you're a born-again Christian, in your heart there should be a desire to please God. There should be a desire to walk with God, to know God, to see God work, and that ought to be the greatest desire in your life. And that's integrity of heart. Integrity means that there's nothing broken or there's nothing out of place or there's nothing missing, that your heart is right with God. And folks, your heart can be right with God. It needs to be right with God. And that's between you and God. But I want to say this to you. If you want to have your heart right with God, that's a good first step. Now tell him so and begin to learn what he wants from you. Integrity of heart, he says. And then he says in verse 4, he says, uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee. Now, you got to be careful because in Galatians, the Bible says the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And we understand we cannot be saved by works. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Bible says to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It's not what you do that saves you. It's what Christ did and your faith in what Christ did. So now some folks can, if you're not careful, get confused. Someone says, well, Pastor, now that I'm saved, I can live like I want. No. The Bible says, for example, in Peter repeats what was mentioned in Leviticus, be ye holy, for I am holy. What do you think God wants from your life, sin or righteousness? Amen? And so when you and I get saved, there ought to be a change in us. There ought to be a change first in our heart, we saw that, and then a change in our, I'll use the word hands, in what we do. And again, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, that is nothing you're going to achieve short of eternity, but I will say this, you will be closer to sinless perfection when you're saved than when you were lost. You'll desire to please God, and it will change what you do. He is giving Solomon some basic conditions that are necessary for God to bless, and they are in most ways still applicable today. Now, of course, the Old Testament law, the ordinances and the Sabbath day and those kind of things don't apply to us anymore. But folks, God still wants us to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. He still wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. He still wants us to be faithful, amen? And so when he says uprightness to do, he's not talking about just what's in our heart, but what is in our hands. And he says, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments. And that word keep is an interesting word. It has the idea of guarding something. If I was to come to one of you and say, here's my phone, would you keep this for me? Then what I would assume is you're not going to give it to the next person that comes along. You're not going to let it get broken. You're not going to throw it in the trash can. You're going to protect it somehow. It's going to be important to you until I come to retrieve it. And folks, God's law should be important to us. I was in Salt Lake City for over 15 years and knocked on a lot of doors there. And quite often people would tell me, and they would say, you knock on the door, and they'd say, well, I go to such and such a church, and you know which one it is. And I'd say, well, let me ask you a question. I said, do you know how to have eternal life? Oh, yeah, they said, we have eternal life by keeping God's law. I said, the Ten Commandments? Yeah, the Ten Commandments. We have to keep God's Ten Commandments. I said, can you tell me what they are? Well, let me think. We can't kill. They think of that one first all the time for some reason. And they get four or five or six or seven of them, and they get stuck. I would say to them, you know, it seems to me like if I thought heaven and hell rested on me keeping Ten Commandments, I'd know what they were. It's pretty dangerous to not know what they are. You must probably don't really believe what you just told me, because, folks, nobody keeps the Ten Commandments. The Bible says all have sinned. A lady told me one time, this lady said to me, you don't think I'm a sinner, do you? And I told her, I said, well, all of us are sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're here today and you're a sinner, you're in good company. Amen? We are. We're all sinners. We all had to have a Savior. None of us are any better than the other. Because every one of us sinned enough to send Christ to the cross. If just one person was willing to trust Christ, he would have died for you. But he did die for you. So, he's giving Solomon, God's giving Solomon this emphasis here. He says, walk with me in integrity of heart. He says, do what I ask you to do. He says, keep my statutes. They should be important to you. You should know what I expect from you. And so when you read the Bible, David said it this way in the Psalms. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, one side of that is very simple. When you know God's word, it will keep you from sin. The old saying, either sin will keep you from this book or this book will keep you from sin. But there's this other application that's just as good, and that is, if you know what God's word is, then you know how to please him, don't you? Amen? I used football as an illustration earlier, I think in Sunday school, if I recall. But anyway, when I was in high school, I was the smallest guy in my freshman class. Smallest of all the boys there, I was the smallest one. And so the coach knew pretty well, this guy's not going to be a starting lineman. In fact, this guy probably isn't going to start anything. But we'll work with him. And so he put me to work out with the linemen to show me what football was all about. And that's when I decided I didn't want to play football as bad as I thought I did. But he put me in that situation to show me how hard it would be. He knew I was going to fail. But he would have given me a second chance if I would have worked at it, if I had put some effort into it. He wanted me to see what things were about. Folks, if you've been in life and you feel like you've gotten beat up a little bit and it's been hard and you're not sure you like it anymore, I want you to know something. God's a God of second chances. And if you'd come back to him, and if you'd find out what he has to say to you in the Bible, and if you'd attempt to please him, and if you'd have a right heart with him, he'll bless you. Wow, will he bless you. You say, well, Pastor, I don't deserve it. I understand that. I don't either. Say, Pastor, I'm not good enough. Got that one figured out too. I'm not either. Say, Pastor, I'm not capable enough. It's not your ability. It's God's ability. So that's the one side of the sword. Solomon, you just finished the temple, but we're not done yet. Solomon, you just accomplished what seems to be the greatest accomplishment in your life, but there's still more to do. Now, in your case and in my case, let me give you a simple application of this. You got saved, and you, as a born-again Christian, the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So just like Solomon had built a temple, you have a temple. And just as the Lord has promised to dwell in Solomon's temple forever, he promised to dwell in you forever. And he won't break that promise. But now he has some expectations. And that's what we saw just now. And then there is a caution. And the reason I started this series on Solomon way back months ago is because as we go forward from here, you're going to see at one point in time, as Solomon grows older, he makes some grievous mistakes. And the end of his life was not good like it could have been. And I thought to myself as I began to go through this series, wouldn't it be good for you and I to learn from his mistakes so we don't make the same mistake? Because if you haven't seen it by now, he's already mentioned it. I'll just go ahead and show it to you real quick. In verse 6, he says, don't serve other gods. And that is somewhat of a theme for us for this last few months, is have the right God. God needs to be your hope. God needs to be your trust. God needs to be the one you depend upon. God needs to be the one you call upon. God needs to be the one that you count on. You've got to have the right God. And folks, I've got good news. He's willing to be your God. He wants to be your God. He wants you to know who He is. He wants to be strong on your behalf. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom He may be strong on their behalf. But there's a caution here. In verse 6, he says, if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, in other words, this is going to go down to the next generation as well, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I've set before you, but go serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel. Let's go back to verse 6 for a minute. We won't be long. Driving down the highway, 65 miles an hour, and you and I, after we've been driving a few years, we don't worry about it too much, but I can remember when I first started driving, I was always afraid I was going to run off the road. My daughter, when she was learning to drive, we were going over to this fellow's house, and she ran off the road up under the curb. And it doesn't take very much to turn that steering wheel just a little bit, and before you know it, you're off the road. And if you're going very fast and you run off the road, it's not a good situation. You can get hurt. You can roll a car real easy. So when you drive that car, and again, we've been driving a long time, so we're pretty good at it, but you make sure you stay going down the road. You don't want to turn to the left or to the right. I was driving, Carlos sitting here so I can tell the story. I was driving the bus last Sunday, and we were driving down Glendale. And there's a big wide patch over there where there's two lanes, and then there's this big vacant area between the second lane and the curb. And I had to look at something inside the bus, and Carlos says, Pastor, you're running off the road. And I looked up, and I was about halfway into that little dry patch over there, and I pulled back over. It was no problem, but we're going 20 miles an hour anyway. But you got to pay attention where you're going. Here's what matters. You and I might say a little sin won't make any difference. That's why he says it this way. He says, if ye shall at all turn from. A little sin makes a difference. A little deviation driving down the highway, unless you correct it, makes a difference. Folks, we need to keep coming back to being right with God. We need to keep coming back to being right with God, because when you allow that deviation to stay there, when you allow that sin to take root and to grow, the end can be catastrophic. Can you lose your salvation? No. Can you lose God's blessings? Yes. And that's what he says here. He says, Solomon, if you turn at all from following me, and look at this, and will not keep my commandments. And you know, I read that phrase, will not keep my commandments. That's just plain old stubbornness. There are some times when we sin and we're not sure. Maybe we just sin, you know, in a, I would say accidental way, but not an intentional way. But there are times when we just say, no, I'm not going to obey God. Folks, that's serious business. You're telling the God of the universe that created you, no, I won't obey you. And that's serious business. And he says, Solomon, if they will not keep my commandments and my statutes, verse 7, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. Now, I won't read the rest of the passage. You've read it already. But he goes on to describe what's going to happen. And here's what's sad. This is not just what could happen. This is what did happen. And as you look at the history of Israel, what you'll find is that after Solomon, the kingdom is divided because of their sin. And then ultimately, the kingdom is taken captive. 722 B.C. with the northern 10 tribes, 586 the southern 10 tribes. The whole nation was taken captive. And it wasn't necessary. If they would have listened to God and done what he wanted them to do, they could have been forgiven and he would have healed their land. Now, I could talk about our nation as a whole, and I have great concern for our nation because I don't see us turning back to God. But I can't change our whole nation, but I can change me. I can't change this whole church, but I can change me. You can't change this church, but you can change you. And hey, guess what? If we all walk with God and obey him, that's the whole church. And God could do some great things with that. And I think God is doing some great things, by the way. I see God doing some great things. But I see, sadly, so many times, and I saw it this morning even, people that have been given an opportunity, God opened a door, double door wide open for them to walk with Him. And all they needed to do was just come to church and grow. And that's what we do in church, by the way, is we get fed and we grow. Come to church and grow, and then watch God bless in your life. And He'll do that. If you're here today and you're just now coming back to church, keep on coming back. This is where it happens. This is where God's going to change you. This is where God's going to use you. This is where God's going to grow you so that He can do things with you and where you can have a relationship with Him and walk with Him and obey Him and know Him. And I see people have that opportunity and they didn't take it. And then the opportunity's gone. Two different situations on our bus ministry where somebody could have and didn't. And now they're about to have to move. They're about to have to leave and go somewhere else. Here you are today. What opportunity has God given you today? Don't worry about anybody else in the room. What opportunity has God given you today? What does He want to do in your life? Amen? And now take that and say, Lord, I want that. Help me. Make me what I ought to be. Give me that blessing, but give me that ability to be obedient and walk with You and learn from You and grow with You and have an integrity of heart so that You can bless me. And as we take just a few little steps, God does the rest. You think about somebody like Noah. Noah worked pretty hard, built an entire ark. But he couldn't cause a flood, could he? God had to do that. You look at somebody like Jonah. Jonah went to Nineveh and preached. Well, he didn't want to go at first. God had to convince him. The school of whale was where he learned. And maybe God's put some of us in the school of whale somewhere along the way. But when he finally went, he really wasn't excited about the job. And he walks into Nineveh, which was an enormous city. It took over a day just to walk across the thing. And he walks in the middle of the city, and I can't quote the Bible right now, but essentially what he says was, repent or die. God's going to destroy you. You need to repent. And you know the story. He went back outside the city at the end, and he sits down under a plant, waits. He's looking for God to destroy the city. I can't wait to see this. This ought to be good. And the people repented. And God didn't destroy Nineveh. How can an uncooperative, unenthusiastic, single preacher change a whole city? Well, obviously he can't, but God can. Amen? What's the point? The point is this. You and I are not the ability provider. God provides the ability. You and I simply cooperate. We do what little we can. I learned many years ago, you need to go to church. That one simple step in a Christian's life makes all the difference in the world. You need to read your Bible and pray. Those little simple steps, which are not hard, make all the difference in the world. And then when you will just take those little steps towards God, He'll do great things. What could have happened and what did happen? Well, we're going to see as the story continues next week and the week after. But I'll give you a heads up here in a month or two. We're going to hear about Solomon turning to idols. And how it happened is because of his wives. And how that happened, we'll talk about all that. And in the end, it didn't go well for him. That was unnecessary. I don't like those kind of stories nearly so much as I like the ones about people in the Bible that did what God said and saw great results. And if you think about this passage and your life, the question has to be asked, which one do you want? Want the blessings of God? Or do you want the chastening of God? Do you want what God can do for you? Or do you want what God has to do because of your sin? And I guarantee you, anybody here with any sense of reason in them would say, Pastor, I want God to bless me. Then take some steps toward Him. Amen? And I'll ask this question and hopefully get a hearty amen. How many of you can say, Pastor, I've learned that God can bless in a great way? Amen. He can, can't he? It starts with salvation. There had to be a temple. It continues with obedience. But that last step is what God does. God takes your salvation and your obedient walk with him, and then he blesses you. Last Monday, when Stephen Terrell stepped into eternity, for some reason, God saw fit to allow that man to be a martyr. And I doubt very seriously if he's coming close to getting over the amazement of seeing his Savior face to face, even still now. But at some point in time, I know Stephen Terrell will have a conversation with my dear friend and former pastor, Thomas Korkish, or with missionary Joe Hawkins, or with folks that have been in our presence, like the folks that have stepped into eternity. And he's going to meet some of those folks. And forever and ever, we sang about it earlier today, nothing but joy and peace and happiness. Because in the end, God's going to make things right. But our life is like a vapor, and for the next few voices, for the next few moments, for the next few breaths, we have to walk in this world. Not very long, just a little while before we're with him. Don't waste that little bit of time God gave you on this earth. Walk in the integrity of your heart. Seek his presence. Seek his blessing. Seek to please him. And folks, you'll be amazed at what he can do. And if you've never trusted him as your Savior, the Bible's very, very clear. The Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. The way that you obtain that righteousness is not by what you do, but by what Christ did, and by calling on him in faith. And we're going to have an invitation here in just a moment, and you could do that today. Let's all stand and pray.